You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Why don't you welcome someone to church if you don't know the person next to you? Get to know them right now. You're going to be sitting with them for 30 minutes or so. It's so good to have you here. And if you're here for the very first time, you're watching family or friends have children dedicate them. So good to have you with us. And I want you to make yourself at home this morning. So relax. We've got tea and coffee for you after the service. And today we're starting a brand new series. So you guys, first time, you get to join with us as we open up a new topic. And today, what we're doing over a few weeks, over the coming weeks, we're going to be coming in and out. We've got a guest next week. But over the next few weeks, we're looking at a few messages, really all the way through the Bible. The Bible is made up of 66 books. And we believe that the Bible, from cover to cover, is relevant and life-giving for us today. And we find in this book, we find purpose, we find meaning, we find out who God is, and out of who God is, we understand who we are more clearly. And so this Bible has a lot to say to us. And so we want to take a few weeks. The topic is called Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Jesus Through the Scriptures. And we're going to show you that Jesus is not just a later addition to the Bible. It's not like, you know, the Bible was written and the first two-thirds were going real bad. Like people were disobeying God. And so God was like panic stations. What are we going to do? I know, Jesus, you're going to have to go. Jesus is not just a later addition, an idea that God conjured up later. No, we see Jesus all the way through the Bible from cover to cover. And so we're going to show you that through the next few weeks and help you also just to get a real passion for God's Word. And we want to encourage every one of you, whether you've got a physical copy of the Bible or you've downloaded the Holy Bible YouVersion on your phone. 17 million people in this country have YouVersion on their phone, and it's free. So you've got instant access to this book, the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never read or opened the Bible, do so over the next few weeks. It's split up 66 books, and you may not know, but of those 66 books, they're split up into different genres. So we see that the Bible is written in different ways. And so you read the books of the Bible, if you understand the genre, the way it's written, the style of writing, then it helps you to understand how to read that book of the Bible, and therefore how to take meaning from it. And so you read Revelation very differently than you read the history books in the Old Testament. You read the Psalms very differently to the way you read Genesis, the first book in the Bible. And you need to understand how you should read the Bible to understand it for all it's worth in your life. And so we're going to look today at just 5 books of the Bible. I'm going to do that in the next 25 minutes. So all we're doing is scratching the surface today. And again, the chief aim is just to give you a hunger and a passion for the Word of God. And I want you to take as many notes as you can. Take the Bible references, go away. The main thing, open this book. And today, I would encourage you to read the first 5 books of the Bible. Just on the next infographic, you can see here, the Bible, as we're saying, we have references of Jesus, not just in the New Testament, in the latter part of the Bible, but all the way through the Bible. And there's actually 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that speak directly about Jesus that he fulfilled with his life on the planet. And so you can see those connections here, 300 cross-references where we see Jesus in the Old Testament. And so when you're reading the Old Testament, if you understand Jesus shows up there, sometimes in physical, sometimes it's through a type or a foreshadowing, sometimes it's through a prophecy, but we see Jesus from cover to cover. And so today, as we open up the books of the law, we're going to see how we see Jesus in those books. Is that all right? John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word," and this is speaking about Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the life of all mankind." Today, as we look at Genesis, which is the creation account, if you want to know why we're here, read Genesis. The purpose of mankind is there, how we came into existence. Then we see in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, we see how God's people were chosen and how they created a tabernacle, a tent of meeting where they would worship God together and also they would experience the presence of God. Then we see Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, and we see not just the Ten Commandments, but now over 600 laws were written about how the people should live, conduct themselves and their relationships, how they should worship God. And then we see the book of Numbers, the fourth book, and we see there how God's people were ordered and counted, and they also spy out the land that God had promised to them. And then the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, which literally means second law. And in that book, we establish that God's heart for us is that we would love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And today we're going to see, when we read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, how many people love reading Leviticus and Numbers? I think you're lying. I'm not sure if you're being honest about that. Not many people open up Numbers and go, "I just want to know exactly to the individual person how many people were in each tribe." Like, if that's you, you're a special kind of person. We salute you. But we're going to see how through those first five books, the books of the law, you may have heard about it as the Torah or the Pentateuch, how we see Jesus in all of those five books. So the title of today's message is From Law to Life. From Law to Life. God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that in your word we see life. We receive life. We pray, God, of everything that we share today, God, we pray you would just impress on our hearts, burn on our hearts a passion for the word of God and a passion for you, God, that we would want to understand everything about who you are. And out of understanding, God, who you are, you would help us to know who we are, why we're created, our purpose, meaning, and what we're here for. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us through this timeless truth in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I'm talking to the Leviticus and Numbers people right now. I'm guessing you're also manual handbook type people. Yes? You get an appliance, first thing you do, you're going to read the manual cover to cover, right? How many people love manuals, handbooks? Like when you get a car, you're going to read the full manual. Not many people. Not many people. I'm definitely not one of those people. I still don't know where to find, you know, the bonnet lever that pops the bonnet? Like, where is that thing? I'm sure like every make a car, they put it somewhere different. So you're trying to work out, is it in the boot? Is it behind a wheel somewhere? I don't know where it is. But you can never find that thing. But apparently it's in the handbook. But not many people go to the handbook because it's just full of irrelevant information that we think. But many of us look at the Bible in that way. We think this is a manual or a handbook. I don't want to read all that. I mean, there's so many pages and I'm not sure if I can do that. And especially the first five books. the books of the law. It's not exciting, is it? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're not naturally drawn to want to read that and see Jesus in that. We're more drawn, even if we're a Christian, to the New Testament, the life of Jesus and the establishing of the early church. It feels more exciting. But we've got to understand there is gold in the first five books of the Bible. And when we understand how to read it, it's going to breathe so much life into our journey of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture. Would you say those two words? All scripture. Yes, that means Leviticus and Numbers. Once again, all scripture from cover to cover is God breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and for training in righteousness. The same Holy Spirit that fell at Pentecost, it breathed and inspired the Pentateuch. The same Holy Spirit that breathed from cover to cover is breathing today. And so we've got to understand that the books of the law are not just written for a yesterday generation. They're not just written for a people back then, but in the law, we also receive life. And so when we read all of these books and we understand that God has breathed through every single book of the Bible, then we can receive life in our relationship with God. Can you say amen? So I'm going to show you a few things just reading through over five books. What's three overarching themes that you can take as you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? The first thing is this: we see an invitation into relationship. The books of the law begin with a God who creates mankind, who speaks, who blesses, and who promises. From Adam and Eve to Abraham and to Moses, we see a God revealing himself in these books as a God who wants relationship with his people. He's not a God that's staying aloof, distant, and just far off. No. This God, if the Bible, is a God who desires relationship with us. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Leviticus 26, verse 12, I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. We see here God's heart is firstly not just about law, but it's about love. God firstly had calling for us and not just commandments. We're not just saved into cold religion, but we're saved into a covenant relationship. Yet this almighty, powerful God of the universe who created all things with his words, this God desires relationship with us today. Isn't that amazing? And he desires a covenant relationship. You know what a covenant relationship is? Covenant relationship means that it's one that comes with promises, with commitments, with responsibilities. We see this in an earthly example in the covenant relationship of marriage. Marriage that we see in the Bible between one man and one woman is we see in a marriage, there is a covenant relationship. We know that a marriage is not defined by the legal certificate. That's why marriage is so much more than just a piece of paper. Have you heard that language? People say, I'm not going to bother getting married because it's just a piece of paper. No. If we see marriage as just a piece of paper, then we don't understand what the covenant of marriage is. There's a significant thing that happens when man and woman come together, not just with a legal certificate, but understanding under God a covenant of relationship. There's actually illustrating to us the covenant relationship between God and his people. And the covenant of marriage is not defined just by a certificate, but as we're married, we understand our marriage is not defined by that. It's defined by our shared responsibilities, our commitments to one another, our promises to one another, that we understand in sickness and in health, in richer and in poorer, good times, bad times, whatever the season, whatever we go through, till death do us part. So we understand the covenant of marriage comes with safety, comes with security, comes with blessing, comes with commitment, comes with a covenant relationship that's way more than just a piece of paper. When we understand that, we see that our relationship with God is not defined by some laws and commandments. It's not some restrictions. It's not just five books of pieces of paper. No, our relationship with God is full of promise and commitment to one another and responsibility, that God is responsible to us and promises to us, and we reciprocate our responsibility and commitment to God. And so when we read the books of the law like that, we understand what we have. We see in the books of the law that God has promised land and expansion to us. He's promised us nations and our generations being blessed. Anyone want that promise? He blesses us protection and also purpose and spiritual renewal by internal transformation. He promises us forgiveness of our sin and error, and we can receive all of those covenantal promises through a relationship with an almighty God. We see in the Old Testament how mankind continually fell short of our responsibility to God. Happy to receive, God, what you've got for us, but we just want to do whatever we want to do. No, it doesn't work like that. And so we understand that as humans, we fell short, and yet Jesus came to restore the covenant, the promise, the commitment, and the responsibilities that we have between us and God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you today may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people by our own choice, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Today, because of Jesus, we get to receive every promise that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are, hello, they are in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Thanks to the restored relationship we have with God, we get to receive all of the blessings, all of the promises that God's people were promised in the books of the law. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Second thing that we see in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, is we see an invitation, not just into relationship with God, but into the very presence of God. We get to be in close proximity with him. We see God's heart and intention for this right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. It shows us that God wanted to be with us. Genesis 3 verse 8. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of day in the Garden of Eden. God wanted to walk with his people. In Exodus, it shows us that redemption is not just freedom from Pharaoh and freedom from something, freedom from slavery, freedom from something that kept us away, but it's also freedom to something. It's freedom to worship. In Exodus 9, verse 1, let my people go that they may worship me. And so the reason we have a new start is to come into the presence of God. The tabernacle shows us in Exodus 25, when God said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. And we see all through the books of the law how God's heart was to come and be with his people. God wants to interact. He wants to be in close proximity, not just a distant relationship, but he wants to be with us. And today he wants us to sense his closeness. He wants us to sense that closeness of relationship. And yet, as often is our own sin, our own decision, our own rejection of God pushes him away. And we see all through the Bible, how could people come to a holy God? And we could never measure up. But the Bible says that Jesus came to restore our close proximity to him. You see, before, our proximity was simply in the Old Testament law. You read about how the people of God, to be made right in the eyes of God, would have to take from their income an animal and bring to God a sacrifice. And they would have to kill that animal, shed some blood on the altar, and kill, whether, you know, by different types of guilt or sin or whatever the sacrifice needed to be made. And it would be a different animal. It could be a pigeon one day, goat, lamb. But you'd have to bring that animal sacrifice, shed the blood. And then once you've made that sacrifice, a priest, not you, a priest would say, wait there a minute, I'll be back. Once a year only, he would go into a place called the Holy of Holies. And the presence of God was limited to that space. And so the priest would go, I'll be back. Maybe. Just hold on to this rope just in case I'm not back. Just pull me out. And you'd go into the Holy of Holies and you'd be there. Please come back. Tell us we're okay for another 12 months. Tell us God accepts us. And once a year, the priest might come back out and say, glowing with the presence of God, and say, you're okay for another 12 months. Be like, wow, okay. There was only a temporary sacrifice. Could never pay the full price. And so the real solution was not us bringing animal sacrifice. Thanks God, we don't have to do that today. But Jesus became that sacrifice. He shed his blood on the cross to be our sacrifice once and for all, Hebrews says. For all people, for all of time, for every single one of you, whether you know it or not, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a sacrifice to pay the price that we could never pay. And so we have relationships restored by that. But then on the third day, Jesus rose again to give us a brand new start. And so we can live with a new life. We're not defined by our own, by our wrong habits, our thinking, our behaviors. No. We're defined by Jesus. We get a new start today. We get to walk in freedom today, in victory today. But not only was God's relationship restored, but his presence was restored. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, that when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice on the cross, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple, the Holy of Holies, the curtain of the temple was torn from heaven to earth, from top to bottom. It was ripped open, the earth shook, rocks split, and the tombs broke open. And what happened right there is God restored not just relationship, but proximity into the very presence of God. So the good news today, you're not relying on a priest to tell you you're okay for another 7 days or another year. You're not waiting for a word of God from a pastor. You can go into the Holy of Holies yourself. You can open up the word, the living word of God, and say, God, I need a word today. I need your presence today. I need your nature in my life today. I need restoring today. I need strength today. I need the breath of God today. You can enter the presence of God. That's why every time we worship tonight, we're having a worship night. And it's an opportunity to come boldly into the throne room of God, to receive grace and mercy, to enter the very presence and proximity of God. But God is so passionate about you that he didn't just split open the curtain and invite you into his presence. No, no. He says, I want to step into your presence. Galatians 2:20 says that Christ lives in us. And so today I have the power of God, not just I can enter into it, but he has entered into my life. And so God's presence is with me wherever I go. This week, wherever you go, whatever room, whatever environment, whatever conversation, whatever work you go into this week, when you step into that place, the presence of God is with you. You can say, God, I need you in this moment. In this conversation, I need your wisdom. God, I need you to speak to me. God, in this difficult circumstance, I need your sustaining right hand of strength and power. God, I need you in my family situation to break through and come through for me, because the presence of God is not restricted to this building, to a temple, to a holy of holies, to a pastor, to a priest. The presence of God is available and living inside of every single person that calls on the name of Jesus. Come on, the last thing we see from the books of the law is an invitation into transformed obedience. We see in Deuteronomy how God was continually showing us that we should tremble in awe of his holiness. And he encourages us today not just to treat God as our mate, that God is not just come alongside my plans, God, and you're gonna endorse my plans. You're gonna empower and equip my dreams for my life. God, I've got a dream. I've got a plan. And God, can you just supercharge me to achieve it? No, no, no. We understand through the books of the law, God is a holy God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He's so powerful and awesome that even today we come before a holy God with reverence and awe. That we lift up holy hands, not because we're comfortable or able, but because we must. We lift up voices, not because we can sing or we can't. We lift up a voice in worship because God instructs worshipers to lift up their voices, to lift up holy hands, and to give God the worship that he deserves. So then we understand, God, help us to live transformed obedience, not defined by an external expectation. Deuteronomy 6:24 says, the Lord God commanded us to observe all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he may preserve us alive. You see the conditional promises of God, the covenant promise of God. It's like, you're going to be good. You're going to be full of life. You're going to understand life in all of its fullnesses. But what you need to do is align yourself with the way I've instructed you to do life. And then you'll experience everything that I've created you to experience. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, I command you today to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways, keep his commands, that you may live and multiply. See, in the books of the law, we see not only in Exodus 10 commandments, But we read of over 600 laws. Some of them about our worship. Some of them about the people of God and how they should conduct themselves. Even the way they should eat and the way they should dress. And all of these laws. And all of these laws were given to God's people. And the whole point we see in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Even if you observe all 600 of these laws, even if you say, I'm doing all of the Ten Commandments, we don't attain righteousness that way. No, but rather through the law, we become conscious of our sin. When I read the books of the law, I'm brought to my knees going, God, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. But thank God for Jesus, who's brought me into the presence of God. And not only that, that you have brought your powerful, incredible presence into my life. Wow, God. And it calls me to a transformed obedience. Now I don't just want to behave better because the books of the law tell me to. I want to behave better because God is calling me upwards to live the life that He's calling me to. And so out of a new heart, I want to serve God with my whole life. So the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 15, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, but did not sin. Jesus lived the perfect life for us, on our behalf. So if we would just accept Him and follow Him, then God sees us today through the lens of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so what God does in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And today, we can be transformed not by the outside in. We're not changed today by doing better, being better, behaving better, living up to somebody else's expectations. Even praying and fasting over the next 3 days, it's not about doing the right things to get the right results. No, no, no. Transformed obedience means it doesn't start outward in, it starts inward out. And our hearts are now soft and open for God. And out of a heart of flesh, God, we want to worship you, we want to serve you, not just with our singing on a Sunday, but with our lifestyle through our week.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.